I see we have a new little baby on the front row over here, Miss Annie. I haven't seen you with your grandbaby on the front row before. That's awesome. It might have been there. I've just missed it. But, you know, since you're going to be a grandparent, you notice these things. I know. We find out this Friday what our grandbaby's going to be, boy or girl. I just can't let you know how excited I am. I'm having to abstain from buying things that I think I like. Let's pray before we get started. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you. And today, Lord, we just set our minds right now upon you. We give you this time, Lord. We've opened our hearts through worship. We've declared your goodness and your truth, Father. We've connected in spirit and in truth. But God, right now, I just ask as the word would come forth, Father, that it would fall upon a soil, God, that would be healthy, that it could grow, that it could learn of you in grace and knowledge and become that which you want us to be in your life and in your way, Father, in your purpose, in your why. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Last week, we brought a message about finding your why. And what was your purpose in this life and in the kingdom? And if I just want to take this time that if you are not currently serving in your local church in a place, that I want to invite you to join me in a class the first Sunday of the month where I will help you find your servant heart and the giftings and the talents that you possess right now that can be immediately put to work in the church somewhere, someplace, and in some way, because God believes that your why is so important. Now, with that being said, if you choose the children's church or the youth, there's a waiting period. Relax. It's for the protection of your children. It's for the protection. And you can't just have people come into the church, fill out a paper, and then say, I love children, and then we put them with your children. That's not what we do. So if you choose any other place than those two places, you can immediately get to work in what you're doing to use your gifting. It's through a personal assessment that we take together. It's 72 questions. I know that sounds overwhelming, but it really tells who you are and what you're gifted and talented to do. And usually that's exactly where your why begins. God gave you a heart to desire what he placed in you. So when you start walking out his desire, you find your why. So if that's you next week, I'm looking forward to meeting you. And you can sign up out at the lobby. And if you don't sign up, that's fine. Just let us know you're coming next week. And we will have food there for you. And we'll eat together and share together and find your purpose together. All right? All right. So the You Ask For It series is what we're talking on. And the second thing that the most of you asked for on Easter morning when given a survey was we want to know how to grow in God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a lot of things I think a church could ask about, but the fact that you are hungry to grow makes a pastor's heart full. Amen. So let's begin on why we need to grow. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Peter today, the third chapter, verse 17 and 18. And he's writing, it says, therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace, God's ability to do for you what you cannot do for yourself, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. When you and I grow in the grace and knowledge, by the way, that grace means you don't have to be smart to get where you're going. Because even if you don't have what it takes, I'm going to be honest with you, I didn't have what it takes. It was a miracle that I even got through school. My dad was a DNF student. My mom, she was a little bit smarter than that. I think she was in the B area range. But by no far were we the 4.25 overachiever students that a lot of these people are today in this society. I'm going to be honest with you. I was good just to get a C. And that meant that I didn't really care that much about my grades. C, care. Get it? Brandy was the F's and D's. He got fines and dandies. Just saying, it's all in how you look at the grade you get. It's important that you and I grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ and what he's done in the scriptures so that we are not carried away by wrongdoing. Now, we're going to move on to a heavy, revy scripture straight away. I didn't save it for the end of the message. I brought it right out in the front. Let's just get it out in the open. So let's go to Hebrews 5, the 11th chapter. And I just want to preface this and say, the writer of Hebrews was probably not saying this to our church. It was for other churches. But in order to understand what is in verse 13, we're going to start with verse 11 and 12. And here's what it says. There is much more that we would like to say about this topic, pretty much in the paragraph before, but it's difficult to explain, comma, especially since you are spiritually dull, meaning that you're not trying to understand the word anymore. You've become dull in your relationship and you don't seem to listen. People that don't listen don't grow. That's the first thing we can identify. If we're not able to open up our ears and to hear what someone else has to say, even though we think we are smarter and have a better understanding of something, then we're not able to learn. You have been believers so long that now you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about the word. Now, this is the scripture. This is for every other church. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. Now, here's the scripture I wanted to get to. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between wrong and right. Now, here's the deal. Let me preface that there's nothing wrong with being a baby. There's nothing wrong with needing milk because that's the position of your relationship in Christ. The problem becomes when you need milk for 18 years. Now, I'm going to tell you straight up, I was not faithful in my relationship with Christ when I was younger. When I began teaching the Word of God, I was probably 20 years into my relationship with God. I would say that was pretty unfaithful because I didn't do the things that it took faithfully to become mature in the Word. However, I got about God's business sooner or later. I got out my own will. I got out my own things that I thought I needed to get done in my life that I wanted to do because I felt they were important. And then I allowed God to step into my life and take over. Some of us live our entire lives with our will at bay. And we grow in the things we want. Oh, we learn how to crochet, we learn how to ski, we learn how to do all these things that we've wanted to do our whole life. Things that we find value in. We grow in education. Some of us are continually learning about stuff. But we're not continually learning about Him. Therefore, learning about stuff doesn't cause you to grow, except about stuff. Oh, you can accumulate a whole lot of stuff. We get bigger houses, we get bigger cars, we get bigger families, we get a higher education, we go out to the best restaurants. We don't even eat at McDonald's anymore because that's beneath us. But we make the reservation where you gotta wait 2 weeks to go in and sit down and have it really nice in the social atmosphere. And you know, we're beyond drinking water from the tap. We now drink Perrier. Just saying, that's for all you Perrier drinkers. I'm not a Perrier drinker, but I do like sparkling some things, just not water. I love carbonation. But what I'm saying is, are we growing in the right things? Because the scripture reminds us that if we're not growing in the ability to see what is right versus wrong, then we're not growing. Paul likens our growth to growth and training as a part of God's kingdom. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Very well-known scripture for some of you. It's important to me. I like this scripture because it's one of, I don't know, especially with, you know, how many of you watched the opening to the Olympics? How many? Hands up? Okay, so we have some Olympic watchers in here. I was an Olympic baby. So for us, it was always, oh, the Olympics is on, the Olympics is on. And this year I missed the opening, and I guess I didn't miss much. Do you want to know why that bothered some of you? Because you understand the difference between right and wrong. But let me remind you something. The mockery of Jesus Christ has been going on for centuries. The mockery of Jesus Christ is not going to stop until he returns and all the namesayers and all the mockers are stopped dead in their tracks and they realize he is the Son of God. Do you understand? It's the only religion that they're taking effect on. Do you want to know why? Because it's the only one true religion. It's the only one true religion. Don't lose your mind. It's fine. They're gonna mock us. Don't think it odd. We should think it odd that there's not more of it in every place we go. Because that's truly what they did. Mocked and laughed. And Jesus' response is our response. Just keep on keeping. Keep on living for Jesus, shining his light in the midst of the darkness. The darker the night is, the brighter the light will be. The darker the world gets, the brighter we, his church, will be. Amen? Okay, Corinthians 9. It says, I'm going to read this one out of the NIV version today. I thought it was really said well. Do you not know that in a race, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Talking about an earthly race. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games. Now you understand these were Greek games. These were the games of Greece where the Olympics actually originated from centuries and centuries ago. And even the writer knew everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. Not lackadaisical training, not once a week training, not what's comfortable training, strict training. Why? So they can win. They do not get a crown. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. We all know the gold medal from the Olympics doesn't last forever. It's going to pass away. But the soul of every runner, the soul of every skier, the soul of every swimmer, every nation, France, Israel, every nation will give an account for the race that they ran for the God. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly, with no target, with no purpose, with no why. I run with a purpose. What is the purpose we found? The purpose that we run with is the purpose that God made you and I for. We weren't made for this world. We weren't made to get stuck in this world. We were made to pass through this world and to take as many people to his kingdom as that we can. That's our purpose. Amongst many others. Reigning aimlessly, I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. Angie, come up here real quick. This wasn't in my notes, but I'm going to do it. We're in a boxing match right here. This is someone who comes with a purpose. Bam! Bam! Now, did you see Angie? She knew immediately that when I held up my fist, there was a purpose that was going to happen. And the purpose was, if I don't move, she's going to punch me because we're in a fight. This is my purpose. She knew we were in it. Now go sit down, Angie. But here's someone fighting without a purpose. Let me read the scripture to you again. Therefore, I do not run like someone striking aimlessly. Therefore, I'm not sure. I just, wait. What if I was preaching and I just went, you go, what is wrong with Pastor Nicole this morning? Well, I'm just boxing aimlessly. What I'm doing, but I'm going to do it all the time I preach, just to prove a point. No, I strike a blow to my body. I tell it to make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. See, right now I'm putting my body in self-control, and I'm not just punching aimlessly while I preach, because number one, you'll think I'm nuts. Everyone watching is never going to view this video again. Like, that lady's crazy. That's not only believe, that's only believe nut people. But because I'm putting my body in self-control right now, and I'm not allowing those outbursts to happen, and I'm preaching the word of God to you because I know it's my God-given design, and I know it's my why, and I know that there's someone out there listening to me today that this is going to make a difference in your life. For the rest of your life, you are no longer going to be the same. And you're going to understand why it's important to grow. You're going to understand why it's important that you skillfully train for the job that's ahead of you. And the job is that you continue to defeat the enemy and his lies, and that you will continue to grow and mature in the things of God. That you'll begin to know him in a greater light. That you'll begin to see things with your heart eyes and not just your earthly eyes. But you'll get to see the scripture the way he sees the scripture. And your life will no longer be the same. Because we know that in Ephesians, that when you begin to know God at a different pace, and you begin to see things differently through his eyes and not your own, that you begin to discover your why. And when you discover your why, then fulfillment comes when you use your why to help others. Truly, at that point, you become fulfilled in your life because you're walking out his purpose. We grow to know the difference between right and wrong. We grow because we know there's a heaven and a hell. Did you hear me? There is a heaven and hell. It's not something wrote about in the book that really is not true. God just put there so he could scare us. It's not true. It's not true. Heaven and hell is real. And if you and I believe that heaven and hell is real, you've all joined the games. You've all joined the Olympics of God. Because in the end, you and I will give an account for what we've done with this life. We'll give an account for the choices we've made, right or wrong. Babies need milk because they don't know what's right and wrong. The people who set their sights on God and train skillfully, who do what it takes in spite of what it costs them, are the ones who become mature and can eat meat. This is not meant to judge anyone who needs milk. It's just saying there's a season of milk, and then there's a time for maturing. And as matured Christians, there's an expectation from you and I. There's an expectation that we will choose right over wrong in the midst of adversity. When the world around us is crashing and screaming and yelling and fighting, and divisions are amongst us because maybe we don't agree with what's happening right now, we're the ones who choose right over wrong. We're the ones who choose to walk in love and not in anger. We're the ones who, when we don't hear what we want, don't become angry and bitter. But we become angry about what God becomes angry about, and we do something. We don't just talk about it, we do something. Let's turn to Mark, the 4th chapter, 26 through 27. Sorry, I got a lot of scriptures marked here today. Okay. It said, this is the parable of the growing seed. And here's what it said. He said, he also said, this is Jesus speaking, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground, night and day. Whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Now, the NLT says it a little different. It says the kingdom of God is like a farmer who puts the seed on the ground. But he does not understand how it happens. And he uses the words, first a leaf blade pushes through, the heads of wheat are formed, and finally the grain ripens. Here's what I want to remind you. Growing is a process. Did anyone notice that it didn't say as soon as the farmer scattered seed in the ground, boom, the fruit grew. There it was. Scads of grapes just hanging. Well, what did it have to hang on? Nothing that could support it. And let me tell you something. The bigger the fruit that God is asking you to yield and to carry, the thicker the stalk must be. And the further up it's going to come before the leaves show themselves. You want to know why? Because trees don't grow with leaves way down here. They grow way up high, and it knows that. And so it grows from the trunk forward. Some of you are becoming impatient about your growth. Some of you think you're not growing. But I remind you, you go to your family at Christmas time and Easter, or maybe you only get to see them once every other year because you're out of state. And when you go, you remember the baby that was just born. But when you get there, you're like, oh my gosh, you're so big. Where did time go? That's exactly what's happening in the spiritual realm right now in our lives. See, the seed is going forth right now. And it's going into the heart of men. And you don't know how this is going to grow in your life. But I'll tell you what will happen. If you will be faithful to allow seed to be planted over and over and over, and you will keep your life in a condition that it can receive seed, 5 years, 6 years, 10 years down the road, you're going to go, I'm not the same person I was. But I don't know how I stopped doing those things that I did. I don't know what happened to me. I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit got a hold of you and transformed your life. Amen. Brandon Lake, he sings a song. And when Lincoln was going through the surgery that he had, it was a very long season for our life. And we would travel back and forth to Cleveland twice a week to the clinic to get help with this wound that he had. And one day we were traveling and he was in so much pain. You could just go over the bumps and he would just scream in pain because it was so painful. And if you've ever loved someone and seen them in pain, it's so painful emotionally to watch that and not be able to fix it. You can't fix it. And the more medicine I gave him, the more addicted he would become. Do you get my point? So it wasn't like you could just give it out freely so that his pain could go away so that you didn't feel it on the inside. It was real. And there was a situation that could have been abused if we didn't do it right. So we were trying to do the best we could. And he said, Mom, he said, just put this playlist on. And there was a playlist on his phone on Spotify. And this song came on, and it was by Brandon Lake. And he was in the back, and I think he was asleep. But I just began to weep as I heard the words. Because this is what it said. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. And I'm like, what do you mean, don't give up on me? He ain't giving up on you, Lincoln. God ain't giving up on you. Ain't never giving up on you. Hold up. And then the next line of the song came. And do you remember it, Lincoln? And it said, when the night is the darkest, my love shines the brightest. Don't give up on me. Don't give up on me. For son, I'm just getting started. I'm just getting started. And the promises that I have for you are so big that you can't even understand them. But don't give up on me. And I thought, what? What? Brandon Lake did such an amazing job by capturing the song. Because I think we as believers think, God, you don't see me. You don't see where I'm at. And you just don't understand. I've got to grow so I can stop sinning. I've got to grow so I can love these people. Hear me? I get what you live with. I know. He's not finished with you yet. He hasn't given up on you. But you must stay in the condition where he can sow this into your life. He's not going to give up. It's a process. Let's go to Luke, the 8th chapter. Spotify is going to thank me later for all those plays. You guys are going to go check that song out. I know you are. It's so good. So good. Luke 8. We're going to read a lot because I need you to understand what this parable is. In the 4th verse, it says, "One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed." These are Jesus' words. "As he scattered it across his field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on and the birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but the plant soon wilted and died for a lack of moisture. Other seed fell among the thorns and grew up, and it choked out the tender plants. Still, other seed fell on fertile soil, and this seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he said this, he called out, 'Anyone who with ears to hear should listen and understand.'" Now, do you remember the scripture we read before about those of us Christians that had been in the faith a really long time, had become dull, and were unable to listen? In order for you and I to grow, listening is such a vital part of who we are, and understand. Now, skip down to the 11th verse. And Jesus, this is the meaning of the parable. He gives us the meaning. The seed is God's word. The seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message, only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. Well, that's not us, because the majority of us in the house today are saved. Now, there might be someone that's not saved, and if you're here today, that's okay. Hang on till the end of the service. I'm going to give you an invitation. The seeds on the rocky soil represent those who hear the message and receive it with joy. Yes, yes, I believe. But since they don't have deep roots, they believe for a while, then they fall away when they face temptation. Remember, they're babies who still need milk, because those are the ones that can't tell the difference between right and wrong. So they must not be growing in the Lord. The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but too quickly, the message is crowded by the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. And so they never grow into maturity. And the seeds that fell on the good soil represent honest, good-hearted people, Americans. Did you hear me? Does that say that? No, not good-hearted Americans. All right, I just want to make sure. So God loves us all, even though we're not Americans. Good-hearted people who hear God's word and cling to it and patiently produce a huge harvest. Did you hear that? A huge harvest. But there's three things: God's word, cling to it, and patiently. How many of you have seen little kids? And you talk to a parent and their little kid is right by their leg, and at first they're holding them, and then before that they're stepping behind their mom and they're just hanging onto her leg. You ever met that? And then, or the daughter who, with Randy would drag Alexis around on his leg. I'm like, what are you doing? She's hanging on. It's a game. Hear God's word. I just heard Randy say half the children's church does that to him. If you work in the children's church, get your leg muscles strong, because you've got a clinger. Children cling to what is safe. You and I are meant to cling to the word of God. Cling to what is there and be patient, knowing that if we will continue to hang on to our Father and not let go of his words, we too will begin to grow and produce a huge fruit. Amen. a huge fruit. Not a small one, not something that you can contain, a huge fruit. Dave, let me ask you this. When you pull in the harvest, would you rather have some harvest, a good harvest, or a huge harvest? Huge. Why? Now, in the farmer's world, huge means more money. But in the spiritual world, it means I'm running a race to achieve an eternal reward. In heaven, it's not that your barns are full with money. It's not that you've got 100 gold medals because you were the best skier in the world 10 times, 15 times, 20 times. It's because the things that mattered in the kingdom mattered to you, and your reward and your fruit that was produced from the purpose of your life and the why of your life are huge. That's what God wants for your life. He wants your blessing and your reward to be huge. Here's the deal. Some of us believe that seeds grow anywhere. I'm telling you that a produce that God wants to bring fruit only grows in favorable conditions. We just read the sower. There are four types. Either you're one of three things. Either the thief comes to steal the word before you can even get it, and you can't hang on to the seeds that he's given you, and you don't know where to put them, so he can't get them to tuck them away, because immediately when you get them, he comes to rip them out. Yeah. Number two, you're too busy, and you get tired, you're talking, and you just lay them down, and you just walk away from them, and you forget where you put them because you're so busy. Or, once you get the seeds, you've been told what to do with them. You even have the directions on the back that says, bush snap peas, delicious, 9-inch pods. Let's see, what am I supposed to do with these? Sow in average soil in full sun. Well, I don't know if I can spend that much time with Jesus. That full sun thing, maybe part shade. I can go on Sunday and Sunday only because I have no other time for anything else. So I could get up early in the morning, but you know, I work out. I got to get the kids off to school and I got to make breakfast. I don't know. We'll see if it works in part shade. This is a lie. They don't know how these seeds grow. I'm sure they'll grow and bring some type of a harvest, right? Okay, in rows 18 to 30 inches apart. That's dumb. That takes too much time. I'm not doing that. No. This would take a whole half an acre to plant these things. Nope. Here's what I'm doing. This is what I got time for. Right there. Okay, go ahead, Lord. Do what you're going to do. Wait a minute. Did that say soil? Oh, it said sow in soil. Yeah, well, you know, God's God. He'll do what he's going to do with that, won't he? This is how we live our lives. No, the seeds must fall on good soil. The conditions that we grow the seed or the word of God matters. And if you and I don't care enough to take the time that it takes to read the directions, to read the instructions of the word, and sow exactly what it says, we're never going to get a harvest. These bush beans are never going to become bush beans because you've got to have soil. Believe it or not, you can grow bush beans in a container. I know this. Do you want to know why I know? Because I'm not allowed to have a garden because it's too much work. Do you want to know why? Because Randy Waters knows me better than I want to admit to myself. And Randy Waters knows that a garden takes diligence, and a garden takes faithfulness, and a garden takes you getting up before the break of dawn in the cool of the day and pulling the weeds that have sowed in your garden overnight. He knows that if you don't put the work in, someone's going to be out there with a rototiller tilling it up at the end of the year, and there ain't no fruit coming from that garden. I want the harvest but I don't want the work of one. Church, I'm going to tell you, if we as a church do not identify that growth is hard work, growth takes getting up in the morning and going to the garden with the Lord and saying, God, here I am, and I'm here to work with you. In case we don't remember Genesis, where Adam and Eve, it said that they walked with him. It doesn't say that. They heard God walking in the garden. It did not say that they held his hand and walked with him. But we can assume that just like God came like a mighty rushing wind, that we hear his voice talk to us, that there was a walking in oneness with the Spirit every day. And that when he showed up in the evening and they weren't there, when he showed up, they heard him walking in the garden. I wonder what that sounded like. I wonder if it was like my kids. 5:30 in the morning. I'm like, what is happening? My kids don't know how to walk like this. This isn't who Jesus was. When God was walking in the garden, his presence was known. But Adam and Eve weren't there. And he was like, huh? Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you? Well, I didn't teach them to play hide and seek. What's happening? Adam comes out. Oh, we're here, God. And he sees them clothed in fig trees. They had made their own outfits. I wonder what that looked like. Without a needle and thread. I don't know. The point is, they had been literally having a relationship with God, but now they're not there anymore. They've gone. Why? Because they fell away because they sinned. You and I are no longer in that position. The garden was forever changed. But the second that started, God, the maker of creation, started a way back for you and I. That way back was Jesus on the cross at Calvary, who forgives us of our sins. And now, guess what? I show up to meet God with all of my darkness, with all of my imperfections, with all of my failures. And he says, hey, good to see you today. And I'm like, it's good to see you, God. You know, it was a rough week, and you know what happened? He's like, yeah, I do, but I forgive you. It's all right. We're going to do better next week. Let me talk to you about some things of the kingdom. And he begins to talk to me and walk me through these things. Why? So that next week's hiccup is not near as bad as this week's was. But if I never go to the garden, where will I be tended? Where will I be grown? Because it doesn't happen on the carpet. It happens in the garden, in the soil. Let's finish today with our scripture. By the way, I've got something for you, older generation. Psalms 92:12 says that the godly will flourish like palm trees in their old age, and they will still produce fruit. Our leaves will remain vital and green. That means that some of the older generations, I'm just going to tell you right now that it's necessary that you continue growing and maturing. It's not that you've matured to the top of who you're going to be, but we need you to keep maturing to model the behavior of what Gen X needs and what Gen Z needs. We need to see you still moving. We need to see you still growing in the things of God. It's okay that you might slow down a bit, but the growth of the things of God does not. Growth from God continues throughout time, always learning, always knowing. Oh, Marsha, I'm looking at you. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know if this is the Spirit of the Lord or not, but I looked at you and I saw your mother. God says she was mature in the faith and she never gave up growing, and neither will you. I don't know what that means to you. I don't know if you've been questioning your timing. I don't know what that is, but God is saying to you, continue on, girl. Continue on, because I'm not finished with you yet. And God's got great plans for you and your family and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren. And you're a part of that. So don't give up. That's good. That's good. Listen, generations are meant to keep giving and keep growing. Now let's go to John 15, and we're going to end with this today. And here's what it says. Such a good one. I am the true vine. This is Jesus speaking again. And my Father is the gardener. Why do we need to stay in the garden? Because that's where God works on us, in the garden. He don't work on us in a parking lot. He works on us in the garden. And where our seeds are planted matters. He cuts off every branch in me, in Jesus, that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will even be more fruitful. You realize grapevines live for like 125 years? Grapevines? Do you realize that that's a perennial? It comes back every year stronger and stronger and stronger and produces more and more and more fruit. Better and better, tastier grapes. In fact, the vines that have been around for the longest time make the best wine. Not that I know, I've read that. Just letting y'all know. Don't you even say that's an allowance for you to be drinking and sucking down juice. It isn't. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. In other words, you've already repented. You already believe and have me, the Savior, there. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch, meaning you and I, can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. You and I, on our own, cannot bear any godly fruit. Do you get that? You can try to be nice, you can try to be kind, but I promise you, in the end, you will not be seen as anything more than trying to be nice. We have it all over the world. We have humanitarianism. They give water, they milled wells, but you know what? If God's not connected to it, it's simply called humanitarianism. But with God, it's called life-giving source. Did you see those Christians come in and do a work? Yeah, and you wonder why Christianity is being targeted. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, in Jesus, in knowledge of who he is, in relationship with you, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, if you're in sin, you are like the branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are then picked up and thrown into the fire and burned, and that's hell. That means if you and I do not live our lives according to the scripture and tend our garden in order to grow and to be in alliance with who Jesus is, Christians, Christ-likeness. By the way, if you're a blueberry bush, you produce blueberries. If you're a raspberry bush, you make raspberries. If you're a Christian, you produce Christ-likeness. That's who we are. That's what we do. Some people say disciples produce disciples. Okay, call us whatever you want. Love, people that love, give love. That's what we do. We make people that love. Okay. If you do not remain in me, you'll be thrown, picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, here's the key. And my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Did you see? Answered prayer is done by abiding in Jesus. Did you get that? Those of you that have been having some questions, maybe some prayers that you've been answering haven't been getting answered. Right there's the answer. We need to abide with him and his words in us. Ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Guys, fruit is simply what is produced. You and I are out to produce Christ's likeness. Galatians 5 talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, long-suffering. Oh, my favorite. Self-control. It's a daily work. Daily work. There's nothing that you and I can do outside of Him. Do you know that when a grapevine is grafted in, that there's a source of life that comes from the center of the stalk? Jesus is our stalk. You can go watch it. Go watch a grafting in video. It's amazing. Do you know that you can take a shoot, a branch, and put into the vine, but if it's not turned just right so that the life source that comes through here goes into the branch will die? Jesus is our source. He is our life-giving force. And when you become to know that you without Him cannot grow, but it's only through Him and in Him that we do grow, you're already ahead of the game. But what we try to do is we try to only grow when we have time. We try to only go to the garden when we're broke. When the branch is hanging like this because the wind came through and we're like hanging on like, hey, Jesus, we need some help over here. Tell Father God we need to be stitched up. When if we would go to the garden every day, God's like, oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, you were in a storm. I got you. Lifts up your branch so that the source of life can continue. And just wraps you up with some tape. You're going to be all right. God's got this. Don't you worry. I got you. I see what's going on. Oh, wait. Let me dig out around your roots. You got some weeds. Let me, you know, Bree, I've been meaning to talk to you about this. There's some friends. This is your branch. Okay. There's some friends in your life, and I'm just going to cut them off. Them are suckers. They're just sucking the life out of you that really you could be more producing for me. I see this love. It's so beautiful. Oh, that's going to be a good fruit this week. Oh, let's look at this one. Oh, yeah, this is good. This is good. Okay. This growth is good. What I pruned off last time, it's looking great. See, your pruning is going to look different than mine. I don't need friends pruned out of my life anymore. I'm 51 years old. If I have friends, it's a miracle. I don't have time to have friends. I got kids. I got grandkids. I got grocery shopping. I got a house to clean. What? I got a grandkid in the oven. I don't know about yours.
Not your oven.
Not my oven, but her oven. Praise the Lord, it's in the oven. There's a grandbaby to cook. It's all right. It's different. Your pruning looks different than mine. And God's asking some of you to give up a substance. You're addicted to a substance that maybe you've been prescribed medically. But God's going, no, that's changing who I've made you to become. And you're not producing the fruit that I want you to produce because of this substance in your life. This addiction that you have to Netflix has got to go because it's stopping the production of fruit that I have for your life. You got to step away from the TV so that you can spend time with me. Some of you have an addiction to your phone. Some of you have thought patterns that have been there since you were a child, and you've allowed them to run and to rule who you are. And God's wanting to cut off those things. Some of us cope. Hear me out. Hear me out. Some of us cope with food. Some of us cope with things that are unhealthy for our lives, that are destroying the fruit that we're going to be able to make for the Lord. That pruning process is necessary for you and I. Notice it wasn't the pruning for the branch that wasn't living in God. It was the pruning of the one who was. See, this stalk is holy. This stalk of Jesus is pure. There's nothing that he can stick himself with that is not holy. So when it becomes impure, the farmer comes in and tries to cut and to direct and to shape into the way it can. But when it stops yielding and it stops making fruit and says, I'm done, then God comes in and cuts it off and says, you'll be thrown to the side because be ye holy as I am holy. Church growth is a sanctification process. And if you come from a baby to an adult, then God is expecting you. The baby choices that you made for wrong and for right is different. I am preaching my jewelry right off. Your life and the sanctification thereof determines your growth. We shouldn't be about childish things. We know what's right. We know what's wrong. And if we don't, then come and let's talk about what's right and what's wrong. Let's talk about how to get through what you're going through and why those choices are not healthy for a believer's life any longer. When the Spirit comes in, the fruits of the Spirit is the proof that the Spirit of God is working on the inside of you. When you turn into this ugly monster on Facebook, everyone just pulls out a bottle and wants to give it to you. Can I just say that? When you lose your mind because things aren't going right and you go on this wide world rant about everything that's happening, I just want to take a pacifier and stick it in your mouth. Because it's proof that the Holy Spirit's work in your life is still in baby stage. It's proof that the things of God and what matters to Him, love, peace, joy, long-suffering, meekness, self-control, there's a ton of them, there's 9 of them. Proof that He's working is when you don't lose your mind. Randy, it's when you don't respond to those posts that you just, ooh, they're burning on the inside of you. You're like, you know what, I'm going to tell you exactly what I think. But you know what? You remember Pastor Nicole's message and you're like, yep. And you throw the pacifier away and you're like, nope, not me no more, devil. I'm choosing right over wrong. You want to know why? Because I'm stepping away from milk and I'm putting on the mature things and I'm eating meat. Because I understand I'm not too old in Christianity that I've become dull in my senses or that I've thought that I might know better than the Lord. And He really don't care if I walk around with a pacifier in my mouth. You ever seen those 4-year-olds walk around with one? I'm not kidding. You look at them, you think, you're 4. Dude, like, can you not use your words? We had one of those. You know what Dad did? He walked right into the new house we lived in and he said, hey, you don't need that no more. And he took it and he threw it in the river. And Lexi said, Mom, why did Papa throw his binky away? It's now in the river. And she was so upset because you want to know why? Because Lexi knew that her brother was going to be crying 24 hours a day to try to get what he wanted because he didn't use his words. And so we just shoved it full with a pacifier. Use the word of God to grow up out of the infancy stage. Growth is necessary to be a Christian. It's necessary to be a part of God's kingdom. And He's calling us from glory to glory to glory so that you and I can bring Him glory. Stand to your feet this morning. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. I felt it necessary today to invite you into the garden of God. Some of us have been with God and we remember walking with Him. We remember this sweet relationship where we would really carve out time in our life to be with Him. And it feels amazing. It feels amazing when the lights, I was talking to a church member a couple weeks ago and he said, Pastor Nicole, since I've been in the Word, the lights are on. And I'm like, yes. What's that mean? It means that you've been shining a light in the darkness and you've been trying to get my attention and I get it. And now life circumstances has got me my attention. God's got my attention because life right now is really hard and He's digging into the Word, but this big bright light of Jesus showed up and He's understanding what the Bible means. He's getting revelation because see what happens is He's staying in the garden long enough to see the growth. See, when I put this seed in here, if I don't add water, it's not going to grow. The water is the Holy Spirit. And He comes to water what word has been planted in you today. But the problem is that come tomorrow, if I come out here and there's no growth, I'm not going to dig this seed up, but that's what I want to do. Because I'm like, is it working? When God's like, yeah, it's working. Just trust the process. And then another day, and I go in the garden, and there's a little bit more water put on it. And I'm like, but God, there's nothing coming up. Not even a tender shoot. You don't know why? It's called the germination process. There's a breaking of the hull of the seed that has to happen. There's a breaking of your flesh that has to happen. And the Holy Spirit's water is coming in and it's saturating your heart, saturating your mind. But some of you, this is, oh, the cleaning lady's gonna hate me. It's not growing, I give up. Oh, I know, I'll try again, it's Sunday. I got this. Seeds, pastor's message. Okay, today I start. Okay, Monday comes. I go to the garden. Okay, Lord. I've been through this before. I don't like this process. I don't like to wait. Just, no, come back tomorrow. It's going to be fine. I'm with you. Trust me. Come back Tuesday, nothing. Come back Wednesday, nothing. Come back, that's it, I'm done. Why can't I get it? Everybody gets it but me. Patience. God's not done with you yet. But you won't sit the process long enough to get even a leaf of growth out. You gotta sit the process. His Holy Spirit's working even when you can't see it. You know, I dare you that if you pour these seeds out in a part of your flower bed, plant them and just pour them out, I dare you to go back and look 25 to 30 days later, because there'll be growth coming out of where you dumped it. The word of God does not return void in a believer's life. It will grow when it has the right conditions. But the conditions are His word. The conditions are the Holy Spirit. The conditions are church, friends, and family. Do you get that? That's why some of the conditions that you're trying to grow in is not at a rave on Friday night. That's not going to work. If that even is a thing anymore. I don't think that's a thing anymore. The conditions matter. What do you think church is? Church is a place where we create an atmosphere of the right conditions that you can grow. But you got to come, and you have to partake, and you have to participate. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying that someone's asking, where do I start? Let me tell you something. You start by taking notes every Sunday. And then as many scriptures as I gave, and I think I gave eight scriptures maybe today. Monday, you read scripture one. Tuesday, you read scripture two. Wednesday, you read scripture three. And if you come to church on Wednesday night, you got a whole nother list of other scriptures. It's that simple. It doesn't take much, but you have to choose to start. Maybe you're here today and you haven't started and you want to start today. This is a safe place for you to grow. Amen. No one's walking around with trimmers hacking off people's growth. We want you to grow. We want you to learn. We want to be with you in that garden. Saturday, coming this Saturday, we have Saturday morning prayer at 8 o'clock. Maybe some of you want to start your garden growth at 8 a.m. on Saturday with your church. Why? Because that's what we do first. We pray first. I want two prayer teams today, two types of people for prayer. One, I've been in the garden, but I've been unfaithful to the garden, and I want to come back. Can you guys hear that piano? Can you turn that piano up a little bit for me? I can't hear it. I want to hear it. I want a prayer for these people here that say, I've been in the garden, Pastor Nicole, but I've gotten away from my meeting place. And I want to grow again. I remember what that felt like to grow with God. I remember what it felt like to be so involved in what He was involved in. My heart beat when His heart beat. I want to feel that again. I want to be so close that I can hear His heartbeat. If that's you, that's over here on my left-hand side, your right. And if you're here for the first time today, or you've been in the service week after week, and you're like, Pastor Nicole, I want to grow with Jesus. And I've never even entered the garden. I've been watching from afar. I've been watching all of you people love Jesus, but I want in that garden now. I want in that gardener, and I want God working on me. I want the Holy Spirit to come and transform my life. Then you're right here. John and Nita, you come here. I don't even know if you're on prayer schedule today, but you are right now. John and Nita is going to be your prayer source today for new salvation. And then the rest of my prayer team, come forward. And Mom, I'm asking you to stay and pray. And Randy, Pastor Randy, stay and pray with us today. And the rest of you that are on prayer team, come down. I see you, Lincoln and Grace, come on down. Yes, get on prayer team today. And if you've been cold in that place and you've been avoiding the garden because you're fearful, you know the commitment it takes. I'm gonna be honest with you. Athletes that train don't train on Sundays only. It's hard work. It's hard work to be in the kingdom. But we understand the call, and we know that our prize is far greater than anything of this earthly world could ever offer. And I know this, that if earthly people can do it and get to the Olympics, then how much greater can God's child arrive and hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You just need a little start again. You just need a little bit of, you got this, you can do this. And get involved. Get involved in it. Now I'm gonna pray and I'm gonna dismiss you. And as I dismiss you today, if you're in this line right here, I want you to come. Please don't wait. I don't want them to have to stay until 1 o'clock praying for all the people. If that's you, and this is salvation to do, praise the Lord. Love it. Look at this. Praise God. New salvation's already happening. Lord, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. And God, we just thank you for what you've done in this service. We thank you, Lord, that you care about our spiritual wellness and our growth. Now, Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would spark in people's hearts that have become dull today. Father, believers that have been in it for a long time, God, that they've become not sharp in their skills of growing and learning and listening. God, that you would draw them out of their seats for prayer today, knowing that today starts a new day in the garden. And Father, every heart, God, that is not right with you, Father, that you would draw them back to the kingdom today for new salvation. New salvation, God, that they've been running too long. Bring them, Father, today in Jesus' name. Watch over and keep us. Father, watch over our families. Father, bring someone into our path this week that we can share your gospel with, that we could invite to church and invite them to be a follower of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Next week's You Ask For It series, it'll be the third thing that you as a church ask for as we share the word. Thank you, church. And if you're in for prayer, come on down.